First of all, I always like to take this time when I first come up here and thank Brother John for this opportunity, even though he's not here. As he's gone to this marriage conference, let's be in prayer for that marriage conference, that God will do something, not only in him and Miss Melissa's life, but in those couples that are there. If you would, stand with me and turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 10. We'll start in verse 23. It says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter in the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible." Let's pray. God, thank you for this day and everything you give us, God. I pray that you would be with me, God. I pray that you would preach through me, God, that nothing I would say would quench the Spirit, God. I pray that if there's someone here that is lost, God, maybe they've come in here seeking an answer. Maybe there's a Christian in here that's backslidden, God. Maybe they've come in here seeking an answer. God, I pray that you would work through me, God, and that you would get the glory, and that I would get none of it, and that it all be for you. In Jesus' name, amen. See, in Mark 10, and specifically in verse 17 through 31, we see a story that is written here. We see, if you go above to verse 17, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" We see here a rich man, a young rich ruler. He's coming to God. He's talking about he came there and he ran and he kneeled to him. That him is talking about Jesus. This rich young ruler was come to Jesus and is asking him what he has to do to receive eternal life. We see here he tells Jesus, "And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. And he was sad at the saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." We see here a story of a man that was rich. He's come seeking God, asking him what he has to do to get in heaven. God tells him, tells him the commandments. And he answered and said, you know, quite pridefully, says, "I have observed from my youth. I have done all these. I've not disobeyed these commandments." And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. You know, Jesus loved him. Jesus loved everyone. No matter what you've done in your past, no matter if you're saved, if you're lost, God loves you. And he tells us here, he loved this lost man that was seeking an answer. "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me." He gives this rich man a job. He gives him an answer. And he said, "And he was sad and saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." See, this man, he wanted an answer, but he wanted his answer. He didn't want one that God had to give him. God told him what he had to do, but he said no. Oh, I'm titling this message today, "I'm Not for Sale." That was a little introduction. In verse 23, it says, "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" We see here that he's done telling the story, and now Jesus is talking to his disciples about what just occurred. Amen. "And Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God?" I'm titling this, "I'm Not for Sale." In this little point here, he has provided. God has provided. Something usually stands in the way of a sinner coming to God. Maybe it's wealth. In this case, it was this man's wealth. It was this rich young ruler's wealth. In some cases, it may be your pride. Maybe in some cases, it may be a certain sin that you don't want to give up because you want to do your thing. Maybe it's bitterness. Some people, as the older they get, they go through life. Different things happen. And of course, if they don't have God in their life, they grow bitterness in their heart. And they blame God for it. God does not ask everyone to give up their wealth. But in this case, that was the one thing that this rich man was holding back from God. Amen. And he knew if this rich man gave up his wealth and gave up the one thing that God told him to, that was holding him back, that he could carry his cross and he could go with God. We see, and the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answereth again and saith unto him, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? You know, God's not saying that if you're rich, you're not getting into heaven. That's not what he's saying at all. Amen. What he's saying is, if there's something that you're trusting in, that is keeping you from accepting God's salvation, then you're not going to be accepted into heaven.
Amen.
In this case, it was his wealth. He comes to God asking, what is the answer? God gives him an answer that he does not like. He tells him to get rid of his wealth, but he does not do that. He says, children, how hard is it for the trust in the riches to enter in the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go into the eye of a needle than for someone that is holding stuff back to go into heaven. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? See, they took it as this rich man can't get into heaven just because he's rich. So rich men can't get into heaven? No, that's not what God was saying. They were astonished at this, the disciples, and asked, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. You know, if you put your faith in God and give everything that is holding you back to God, he says that it is possible with me, and you can have salvation. You know, if we skip back a few verses, in verse 14 and 15, we see an example of children and the disciples stopping children from coming to Jesus just because of their young age. We see, and they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. So here's another example of God saying something, just like he did, that a rich man can't enter. But he's saying that as a little child, he shall not enter therein. But God's not talking about a little child. He's talking about the faith of a little child. We see, you must have the faith of a little child. When a child accepts salvation, he or she does not have a lot of experience. They have unwavering faith. They haven't went through the world and things in their life that have marks in their life of sin. They still have the innocence of being a little child. And when they accept salvation, they have no ties. They just freely accept Christ. That's one of the reasons Pastor put such an emphasis on children's church and reaching our children.
Amen.
as little children, because they haven't been beat up and bruised by the sin of this world.
Amen.
If we get the gospel to children, they have Jesus to walk with. Unlike someone who may have accepted, like Brother Tom Brock. I know Brother John mentions him a lot. He accepted Christ around 70 years old, I believe. It's not usual for an older gentleman or older lady to accept Christ like that, because all through their life they've went and not walked with Jesus. And that's why we see Jesus put such an emphasis on the little children. We see in verse 28, then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. So Peter, this is his answer or his reply to God saying, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. And Peter, you know, Peter is always talking and he doesn't think before it comes out of his mouth. So we see a little pridefulness here. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Peter says, we've left all, but what have we gotten? And Jesus has an answer for that. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions and in the world to come eternal life. So Jesus has a reply to Peter saying, what have we gotten? He says, what you have gotten is a promise of eternal life. What you have gotten is a promise of walking with me your entire life and having hope that one day you're going to see me again. One day you're going to join me again. But we see, it says, with persecutions. God, I say this a lot, but I think it needs to be reinforced. God never promised that us as Christians wouldn't go through battles, wouldn't have cancer brought into our life and weaken us, wouldn't have lost loved ones to fall away and run out of the house, and wouldn't have things to come in our life, family members to pass away. You know, my granny, she was my best friend, and she passed away, but I have a hope that one day I'm going to see her again.
Amen.
And though I can't see her here, I know that one day I'm going to be able to walk through those gates, and I'm going to be able to see my granny and papa worshiping Jesus. And we see, I read in a commentary that I read, it goes along with this. Us as Christians, because we don't understand God's goodness and his genuine love for us, we, like Eve in the Garden of Eden, doubt his character. For some strange reason, we think we can provide for our needs better than he can. And we think we can muster enough wisdom and strength to do life well on our own. We're content to settle for eternal life when Jesus wants to offer us much more. The thought of being sold out for Jesus was too much for the rich young ruler to comprehend. Because he didn't understand God's limitless love for him, let's not repeat his mistake. Let's choose to believe that God's heart is filled with goodness toward us, and let's give him our everything in return. You know, that's pretty powerful right there. God is, he's loved us, like it said back right here. He loved him and said unto him, God loved this rich young ruler, but he couldn't get past what God wanted him to do. You know, us as Christians, sometimes we think we can do life. Once after salvation, we know we have eternal life, so we'll take it from here, God. We have the promise of eternal life, so we'll take it from here. We've got this. And we wonder why months later, years later, we seem so empty inside. We still have that promise of eternal life, but we're not walking hand in hand with God. You know, he's promised us so much more if we'll just take him. I know I've seen prayer in my life do amazing things. I've seen reading this Bible in my life do amazing things. You know, I've seen prayer bring back a son that was out in the world, a prodigal son. I've seen a prayer cure cancer. I've seen a prayer do things that I prayed for my granny to be healed, but my granny wasn't healed in the way I wanted her to be healed. But my prayer was answered, even though it wasn't answered what I thought I wanted it to be answered. We see an unseen end, Luke 18:30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. You know, lost friend, if you're in here tonight, you may have things in your life that are holding you back. Maybe that pride's holding you back from accepting God and putting your all in God. Maybe that bitterness in your heart, maybe you've had some death in your life, and you've become bitter to God. Why would he do that? Why would a loving God take someone that I cared so much for? Why would a loving God do these things? Why would a loving God allow COVID into the world? You know, God always has an answer. It may not be our answer. It may not come in our time, the answer. But one day, all of these things are going to be answered.
Amen.
One day, all of these things are going to be known, why everything was done to us, why everything was done in our world. When we get to heaven, everything will be made known. But the Bible says that the only way through Jesus Christ is through him. It's the only way. Nothing can be done. Your riches can't bring you to heaven. Your good works can't bring you to heaven. Your baptism can't bring you to heaven. The only thing that can bring you to heaven is asking Jesus Christ to come in your heart. One, for admitting that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, believing that, admitting that you're a sinner, believing that God died on the cross for you, and calling, confessing that you are a sinner and that you need a Savior. You cannot take anything with you. Everything that you have right now, you can't take it with you. Those riches, one day they're going to pass away. One day that pride that you have in your life, one day that bitterness that you have in your life, it's not going to be taken with you. There's a place, there's two places that you'll spend in eternity. As a lost sinner, if you're in here tonight, God says in His Word that if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will spend eternity in hell.
Amen.
And God's promises to us that us as Christians, if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we'll spend eternity in heaven with Him.
Amen.
But while we're down here, we need to give our all. We need to take our for sale sign off of us. We need to be sold out to God and living for Him no matter what. Through everything in our life, everything, we need to be sold out to God. We see in Mark 9:44, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. We see a little picture of hell here. You know, God promises that you will die and go to hell if you're lost. And it says that you will not die. You will spend eternity there. If you would, pray with me. God, thank you for this day and everything you give us, God. I pray that what was just preached, God, would be used for your glory and that alone. I pray that you would use it, God. I pray as us as Christians would take this, God, and we'll be sold out for you in every aspect of our life, God, in our daily walks, in our work, God, in our school systems, God. I pray that we'll live for you in our relationships, God. I pray that we'll live for you. God, I pray that you would be with, if there's any lost people in here tonight, God, I pray that you would give them the courage and wisdom to take that first step of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The piano player plays. If you would, stand with me.